Hey, everybody, welcome to Movie Crush Mini Crush Edition.
Is that a special edition? Is it like, is it signed and numbered or something? What does an edition mean?
Noel is back and you're gonna be in trouble.
hey, nah, blah, 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 blah.
He's got a nose full of snot.
That's very true.
But he's gonna podcast anyway.
Hey, nah, got a nose full of snot. I had an interesting weekend.
Yeah, man, I want to hear about, well, first of all, let's just get going.
Yeah.
With the fact that on last Friday, I did the saddest movie crush ever.
Oh, no.
Sitting in this goddamn room alone. Ramsey even left. He just hit record and left.
Just like talking to the ether.
It's strange.
Just yelling into the abyss.
It's like the true definition of a podcast started, which is some sad, chubby, middle-aged, lonely guy by himself in a room talking to nobody.
Well, now you know the life of Jonathan Strickland, only he's super jacked now.
So, we got caught with our pants down, Noel, because you were away. I didn't know that you were traveling. You went to Los Angeles.
I did.
What'd you go for? Happy Face?
No, it's this other thing. I kind of think I can talk about it, actually.
Oh.
It's sort of like a startup entrepreneurial type show where we talk to different like hot shit CEOs and like, you know, people that have like come from nothing and made themselves into these like obscenely rich luminaries, basically.
Oh, like me.
So, just like you, Chuck. We'll have you on the show before you know it. But yeah, so it was all surrounding this conference that was going on there called the Summit LA 18 conference. I saw Jaden Smith interview Al Gore about climate change.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was surreal. It was a little bizarro world, but it was cool.
Was Jaden...
He's sharp.
Yeah?
He did a good job? He did do a good job.
All right, that's cool.
Al Gore, though, is funny. He's like, now, Jaden... I want to tell you, Jaden. He kept like putting his hand on him and saying his name, which I thought was a little weird.
And Jaden's like, dude, I'm fucking 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Or however old he is now.
I don't even know. But it was interesting. And it was in all these old, beautiful theaters down in downtown LA on Broadway. So I got to go to the Orpheum. I went to the Palace.
Yeah,
which
man.
You pointed out to me on the social that was where the Thriller movie theater scene is shot.
Yeah, Josh and I performed there,
That's right.
I learned that.
Yeah.
And was like, man, this is pretty cool.
And you sent some nice screenshots, some little A-B comparisons.
I was
stoked. And also, I think I maybe mentioned in that thread that Big Lebowski, the scene where the dude's landlord does his cycle. Remember his cycle?
Yeah. Is that the palace?
That's at the palace as well.
Which is hysterical because... By all accounts, that scene should have been in like a 30-person theater.
A tiny, and they made it look like that. So
yeah.
I don't know why they even – maybe they just had a deal on the Palace that day or something.
Well, I mean, the Palace, it's had a comeback lately. During the Big Lebowski days, it was just like shuttered.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I went to the Orpheum, the Palace, the Ace Hotel, which was really beautiful as well.
I stayed there when we did that show, actually.
That's right. Yeah, Casey was mentioning that he stayed there as well.
Yeah, staying downtown LA is weird because it's very much feels like New York.
Big time, yeah.
But then you look up and you're like, wait, there's palm trees in the background.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Los Angeles, but it's a very downtown-y, New York-y feel.
Well, the whole thing about this event was it was like, you know, this was a very exclusive event that I just happened to luck into getting a free pass to, but I felt like, you know, the kid that from the slums that got to go to Harvard, you know, because...
You're Goodwill Hunting.
I was Goodwill Hunting, yeah. And so it was like, but the thing that was interesting was like, you know, the people that were at these events had paid a pretty penny to be there,
yeah.
And there was this interesting juxtaposition of this like obscene wealth and opulence and these bizarro events. Like, I went from seeing, you know, Eckhart Tolle, who's like this kind of like meditation guru guy, to seeing Jaden Smith and Al Gore, to hanging out in this weird pavilion with iced coffee, you know, on tap and stuff.
Yeah.
And the backdrop of downtown LA to this event was very stark and interesting because it's very, you know, it's a very gritty kind of trashy downtown.
Downtown has come a long way in some areas, but like Skid Row is still down there. I mean, there's still... They've tried to revitalize downtown, but it's interesting in all those old theaters. I was working on a music video downtown. I can't remember who it was for. I want to say like Michelle Branch, if that name even rings a bell. I don't even know.
Oh, no? Okay.
I have no idea.
Listeners, you know what I'm talking about.
And I was to run an errand over to get something from an Aerosmith shoot down the street. And I went to one of those old theaters. And that was when there was nothing really going on downtown. Like, they've done a lot in the past 15, 17 years, but there was nothing going on. And I remember walking in this theater and seeing this whole row of just these grand, majestic old theaters that were now like Latino churches, interestingly, or just closed, and thinking, oh, my God, the opulence is off the charts, but it's like a haunted mansion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. I mean, some of these, the architecture, I believe it was the palace in particular. Wait. Yeah, that's right. That's where Eckhart Tolle was. It looks like it's just so gothic. I mean,
yeah.
It's like something out of like a Tim Burton Batman. Like, it's really, really,
sure.
It's got this textured look that almost makes it look like organic, like dead plant matter mixed with like bones or something, like
Ooh.
Some sort of ossuary.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. It was gorgeous and really like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I was really glad I got to, that was my favorite part of the whole trip, was just seeing those buildings.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Inside and out and getting to kind of hang out.
Where, did you stay downtown too? Did you
no,
stay at the Ace?
No, I stayed at, I should have. I stayed at the Hollywood Roosevelt. So I had a.
I have stayed there.
I had a very broad LA experience.
Yeah.
I went to friend of the show Kevin Pollak's house.
Oh,
Helped him with some podcast related stuff.
Nice. Went over to Pollak's house.
Went over to Pollak's house. He got me an everything croissant, which is apparently a thing now.
Wow. Yeah. Is it like the bagel, but
it's like the bagel, but it's a croissant, and it's filled with cream cheese.
Holy shit!
Yeah, it's very decadent. But he's a super sweet guy, Kevin Pollak, really, really cool, and went from his hood to Venice for the day and just took a bird scooter and kind of just tootled around Venice.
Sure.
It was a fun little solo trip. I did a lot of soul searching.
Yeah?
You know? Yeah.
Did you go by one of those weed shops?
I don't know what you're talking about, Chuck. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jaden Smith is 20, by the way. Nailed it. Total guess.
He strikes me as a bit of a 20.
What's Pollak's house like?
It's super cool.
Sweet.
It's really nice. It's just really everything in its right place. He had this amazing like nudie striptease machine from like the 30s where you put in a nickel and then you crank the crank.
Yeah.
And then it's like a light and a little eyepiece.
Like, I'm taking my clothes off.
But it was like you could see that it was like a kind of a old, like very worn flip book that has a little mechanism and it just flips through and it's this gal doing a little striptease.
That's great. Yeah. So he had some...
He had a jar of nickels up there.
Some tchotchkes.
He had a cool collection of weird stuff. Yeah,
that's awesome. I've never been to the Pollak house. He's invited me over for, he has his sort of famous poker nights.
Yeah. We sat at the famous poker table.
Yeah,
actually.
And he's all, and every time I'm in LA, he's like, oh, you come over for poker. I'm like, dude, I'll just write you a check and go watch.
Yeah, there you go.
In fact, I might do that. Yeah. It's like, here's $300. I'm just going to watch you and your famous friends.
I don't think $300 is going to get you in.
Probably not. I can't lose more than that. I can't even lose that. All right. Well, it's good to have you back, buddy. I saw you posted about Jumbo's Clown Room this morning. Did you go?
No, I just passed it and thought it was the first thought that I had was, is this a weird children's place from the 50s?
No, it's not a children's place.
No, I could second tell when I looked a little closer at the sign.
It's their Claremont Lounge.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. And that was in kind of Los Feliz area? I can't remember where I passed
that
by.
We used to go to Jumbo's. It's like the Claremont. It's an LA institution.
Got it.
So I thought, oh man, Noel's discovered the Clown Room.
No, I mean, I stayed on Hollywood Boulevard, and I ended up going. I didn't realize that Los Feliz is like the other side of Hollywood Boulevard. Kind of, you keep going down Hollywood.
You're right there.
I got a Thai massage. That
Ooh.
Was pretty cool. Just the regular kind.
Okay.
Yeah, standard. It was awesome, though, man. It was, so I ended up in Thai Town, which is like right on the edge of Los Feliz,
yep,
I believe. And
that's
then
kind of right where I lived.
Ended
in
up
my
right
first
by
apartment.
The Dresden, which I'm always going on about how much I love the Dresden.
Sure.
But it was during the day, so I couldn't go and see, was Marty and Elaine?
Yeah, they wouldn't be there during the day.
No.
But it's funny, I'm sure you haven't listened, but the Sean Gunn episode, we had sort of the same favorite dive bar back in the day.
Which was what?
The Drawing Room in Los Feliz, which is a 6 a.m. bar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we sort of both delighted in the 6 a.m. bar and just that whole notion. And that it's kind of great.
Meaning you can just walk out and then the sun's up and you're like...
No, it opens at 6.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm confused.
Yeah, it opens at 6 a.m., so...
Oh, and it just stays open.
It stays open until whatever, 2.
2. I got you.
I think in L.A., is it 2?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then you can come right back 4 hours later.
I really like the Frolic Room. I always go to the Frolic Room.
Yeah, that's a good old dive.
It's just a good old dive. It's right next to the Pantages Theater.
Yeah, it's right there in the middle of Hollywood.
It's great. But
nice,
it's just like, I like the old school stuff. I like
that
the
was
super...
In, LA Confidential.
Was it really? Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Sure.
I had a steak dinner at Musso and Frank's by myself.
Hey, come in. What are you, medium rare?
Yeah, no, it was good. The thing that everyone should know about Musso and Frank's, though, is that everything is a la carte. So you get the steak. That's a charge. You get some mashed potatoes. That's like 10
more
bucks.
Well, that's like every steakhouse.
You get like a gravy boat with some sauce in it. That's $5.
That's every steakhouse.
Is it?
Yes, dude.
Okay, well,
unless
I guess
you go to fucking Outback.
Well, that's where I go, dude. That's my bar for steakhouses.
Oh, no. You got to take you out for good
steak. No, I had a good steak, Chuck. It was great. It was really good. Musso and Frank was top notch.
Oh, he's already worked up, everyone. Wait till we get to Noel's Holes. It's going to get ugly. Well, it's good to have you back, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. Good to be back.
If you listen to the first 5 minutes even of that solo podcast, you will hear me just gushing over you. So,
oh man, well, I need a little confidence booster. When I do need one, I'll keep that in my back pocket.
Yeah, keep it in your back pocket, right where you fart. Mm-hmm. That's what I say.
Yeah.
All right. So, let me see. What can we do today? I put up some things last night because last night was election night, and I don't know what you did, but I flipped it over to CNN with John King, and I literally felt like I had PTSD just seeing him in front of that screen with his little magic fingers. And I'm like, I can't do it again.
Well, in Georgia, I got the sense that the polls were staying open really late because of fuckery with vote counting, which let's not even get into that. The Secretary of State ran for governor.
Yeah.
That's not
no
a
conflict.
Problem at all. Okay, anyway, this isn't a political show. But no, I made the very conscious choice to pay no attention to it because I knew it wasn't going to come until late. And it's just not worth staying up and biting your nails. So I went to bed and had a nice sleep.
Good.
And my friends that were out checking out the counts and stuff texted me middle of the night with, you know, some good news-ish.
Yeah.
But
modest gains.
That's what I'm saying, though, dude. I woke up to very meh feelings about, like, because I had a middle-of-the-night text from somebody who was probably quite drunk and feeling optimistic and sent me in all caps, like, Dems take the House. And in my mind, I read that as Dems win everything.
Right.
That was not the case.
Yeah, I think for liberal hippies right now, just turn it off right now. Hey, listen. If you don't agree with what we're about to say, just give it a pause or hit the little fast forward button like 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to piss anyone off.
No, this will be a short soapbox.
But for liberal hippies like us, I think, you know, modest gains are gains. Like we want everyone to win. We want Stacey Abrams to win and O'Rourke to win and the Gilliam in Florida to win and to take the House and all the things. And you're just not going to get all those.
No.
So we took the House. That's great. Abrams, I honestly believe if it hadn't been for voter disenfranchisement, she would have fucking won.
Well, there's also they're talking about like there being potentially a
runoff,
not a recount, a runoff. I don't know. Whenever that's the last
just,
ditch.
I mean,
effort.
She's so close, and that says a lot about Georgia that a black woman is within spitting distance of the governor's seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like moral victories, but. It you got to take what you can get these days, you know?
All right, how about you quiz me about some movies I haven't seen or something?
Well, that's coming up.
Okay, that's later. Okay, cool.
All right, everyone, if you're...
And
we're back. all right, here we go. So here's what I did last night, Noel. I worked on Mini Crush and sort of prepping everybody with some good questions and polls and watched TV that was not the election and then just sort of checked in every now and then to see how things were going. So here was my first question, though, for social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
How about an election night distraction, everyone, with some Mini Crush stuff? Name your favorite political movie. See what I did?
That was cute.
I was just jerking everyone's chain. But political movies are some of my favorite movies, like The Maltese Falcon. And, you know, I talk about All the President's Men a lot in movies like Michael Clayton. Love a good, heady political thriller or political film. Bullworth, movies like that even. Wag the Dog. I'm into it. So we're going to go over some of these.
I mean, I remember really enjoying Wag the Dog.
Yeah, it was good.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, it was fine. Matthew Hansen says a contender. Agreed, dude. That was a great movie right off the bat. Tony Bucco says All the President's Men. Carrie McQuaid says Dave. I never saw that. Did you with Kevin Kline?
That's the one where he's the president, right?
I think so.
President Dave?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
Let me see here. All the President's Men again from Sally McKenzie. Megan Nicole says the American president, which I did not see. But that is the love story. I feel like I've asked this question before. I think I might have said political thriller. So this is not necessarily that, because certainly the American president is a romantic comedy wrapped up in politics. 12 Angry Men from Gracie Ann. Does that count? Gracie says, sure, I think so. For sure. Boy, a lot of people are saying American president. Vanessa Lopez, our old friend. She's who sent that box of food, by the way, Noel.
Box of food?
Yeah, there's a box of food on your desk with chips and popcorn and
seriously?
Coffee. And
what? I haven't been to my desk. I came straight here, Chuck, straight here.
Vanessa Lopez, say thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa Lopez.
Carl Gaffney says, thank you for smoking. Richard Stokes says, Back to the Future. Just because the Goldie Wilson thing. That's a bit of a stretch, my friend.
Well, Back to the Future 2 predicted the rise of Trump. Let's not forget.
Did it really?
Oh, totally,
was
man. Biff. Biff is like a Trump character.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. He doesn't really become president, but he does using, this is a spoiler for a movie that came out decades ago, just putting it out there, using the knowledge he gleaned from that sports almanac.
Right.
He elevated himself to a position of extreme power and practically dictatorship over the weird Back to the Future 2 future world. So he was kind of a Trumpy figure, in my opinion.
Dude, I have not seen Back to the Future 2 and 3 did not impact me much. So I don't know if I've seen those movies since they came out.
Two is a lot of fun. Three, they're all fine. Three, I remember seeing three in the theaters because that had to have been like early 90s, maybe late enough 80s that I was, you know, cognizant of movies in the
theaters.
You're
a sentient human.
Yeah. And I also remember the Pizza Hut had like sunglasses you could get that were Back to the Future theme that were like crazy, you know, retro futuristic sunglasses or whatever.
So, 1990, Noel.
90, yeah. Right on the cusp. And Little Mermaid, I want to say, was 89. That's one of the first movies I remember seeing in the theater.
That's
and also Home Alone.
So, yeah. I was graduating high school.
Well, it was a wild time for both of us, Chuck.
Lincoln, Megan Carroll. Oh, boy. You know what? She said the drama was tense despite me knowing how it ended. And Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field knock it out of the park. The acting was great for sure, Megan, but I think I've said so on the show. I thought Lincoln was a bit of a snooze. I feel a little bad for saying that, but it was a bit of a snooze.
Yeah, I mean, people seem to really dig it. I guess, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis really embodies Lincoln, but I never felt compelled to watch it.
Yeah. You did not
see
it? No,
I did not, no.
All right,
well, I'm sure it's fine, but those really hyper-accurate or whatever, political or whatever, historical reenactment type movies, they typically don't grab me unless there's some like fresh take on it or some weird new angle.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like
that's just
Lincoln
me.
Versus vampires?
That would be fun. I would go to that.
They did that, right? Abraham Lincoln Vampire
they
Hunter?
They did.
Yeah.
They kind of came and went though, didn't it?
I think so. Kirsten Wells says, the Iron Lady, even though I'm Canadian. Well, you're Canadian, but there probably is some England in you if you're Canadian, right? Or France?
One would hope.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
I don't either.
Hutch Allen says, the Ides of March with Clooney and Gosling. I still haven't seen that, man. I need to see that.
Oh, but it's not about Caesar. It's just called, it's called that. They're like political operatives, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah. Ed Bueno says, Herod's Law, a janitor becomes mayor in a tiny town, a desert town in Mexico. Quickly learns the ups and downs of politics. If you don't mind Spanish dialogue with English subtitles, this is a real treat. Wow. I love that, Ed. I appreciate that. I like getting a good foreign film rec. The Gooch, David Gooch, says election. Yeah, it's high school politics. That's true.
Yeah, but it's meant to be like a satire, like a microcosmic view of, politics at large.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I'll count it.
Using like a, kind of like the lens of a high school election.
Good point. Mark Villapando says the campaign, Will Ferrell punching babies. That's one of my guilty pleasures. That's a funny movie. I'll take Will Ferrell any day, people. Allison Gallagher, our old friend Allison, says Argo or Lincoln. Yeah. My buddy wrote that article that Argo was based on. That's my claim to fame. Bob Roberts.
One of many, Chuck. One of many.
Bob Roberts comes from Trent Moore. Bob Roberts was good. He said, Is Bob Roberts as good as I remember it being? Yes, Trent, it was. Very good political satire.
Bob Roberts?
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
Oh, I don't know this.
Yeah, it's good. It's a political satire.
Cool.
It's ultra, yeah, you should check it out. It's good. Jack Black's in it too, I think. Let me see here. Let's go through a couple more. The East. Scott Rufsvold. Excellent performance by Britt Marling, as always. That's I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Remember Britt Marling? She did that show you didn't like with the dancing.
I liked that show.
You liked it okay. You said you didn't like the dancing, though.
The OC?
The ER.
The ER? The OL?
The OA.
The OA.
The OC. I'd like to see a mashup of that one with the OC.
No, I did like that. I didn't like the interpretive dance.
Speaking of which, I don't want to derail this too much, but right across from the hotel I was staying at on Hollywood, there's this store called La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
That's like just, you know, trashy, kitsch, you know, souvenirs
sure,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But on a loop, they have that Phantom Planet song that's the theme for the OC playing. Like,
wow.
California. It's like every time I walk out of the hotel and I just hear, California. It's like, dude, how much more cliche can you be?
Kill me.
It was pretty funny.
But it's funny because a lot of people probably go home and with their little Imitation Academy Award and are like, that shop was the best.
It is large. LA. It is large. Oh, yeah.
I love it. Charlie Wilson's War. That's from Christy Boyd. I have not seen that. I need to check it out. All right. That feels good. Oh, no. Here's another good one. Eric Keith says, Michael Keaton and Gina Davis in Speechless. It was about speechwriters, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds
romantic comedy,
like a rollicking good time. I gotta give them credit for that, for making like something that seemingly on paper would be such a snooze.
Sure.
Be a nice, delightful romantic comedy. And Speechless.
Yeah.
It's like these people who are paid to talk or write words for people to speak.
Yeah.
They're so in love that they're fucking speechless. They got nothing to say.
The title is pretty terrible.
This is the New Yorker, like the producer guy that I'm channeling here. You know what another good one is? Network. I would count that as a political film just because it's all about, like, you know, laws surrounding television
it feels
and news.
Political.
And I don't know. I think that's a good one. And,
I agree. That's a great movie, too, man.
I mean, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, right?
Yeah, one of the classic films. A lot of people are saying Napoleon Dynamite. I saw it, but not even like most people saw it. Like, I barely remember it. I guess it was I know Vote Pedro, so there was some sort of election,
that
right?
That was
a political movie.
Not at all. No, that was the message at the heart of that movie was not one of any kind of politics. It was just about being yourself, dancing like no one's looking. You know, that's what that movie's about.
Napoleon Dynamite. I'm so mad at you guys. So mad.
I like that movie a lot. And I saw it in the theaters not knowing what to expect, and I was purely charmed by that
movie.
Yeah?
I was way late on that because I didn't see it initially, and then it became such a big thing. It was one of those deals. Sometimes, you know, when something's such a big thing, you're kind of like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see
like
that.
Like the Beatles? Fuck those guys. Am I right?
Oh, Noel, it's good to have you back. So did you know, buddy, that this past weekend was our one-year anniversary for the show?
I did. Happy anniversary, Chuck.
Happy anniversary.
I brought you this T-shirt.
That's very nice.
It's a John Roderick's band, The Long Winters.
Where did that come from?
I got it at a Goodwill in the heart of Hollywood.
Oh, really? Is that for your daughter?
Yeah, that was for Chandler because he produces the show John Roderick is on.
Omnibus
with Ken Jennings, and I wanted to bring him a little something back. But I got a smattering of shirts. They were all dollar. I got like a West LA Dialysis Center shirt, which was a prime find.
The WLADC?
The Premier Dialysis Center.
The Wladik?
Yeah, of course. That's when you say it like that. It sounds like some sort of Russian bathhouse.
Come to the Wladik.
Yes.
Drink vodka.
What do we got next, Chuck?
All right. We are going to, I think since we mentioned the one-year anniversary, I did ask people yesterday, here at the one-year anniversary, let's hear what your favorite Movie Crush interview edition has been so far. We got 104 people. And I'm kind of curious, and this is not a popularity contest, everyone. I say that mainly for you, Noel, because you were a guest. So it's not like I'm looking, you know.
Oh, no,
man.
Like, so you're saying I wasn't the number one choice? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
are you preparing me for this?
I'm just reading these.
Okay, that's fine.
Frederick Gimseer says, the Big Trouble in Little China episode. That was with Kyle Kinane. Rian Dixon says, Casey Wilson and Eric Slick. I like that. Brandon Surigayo says, Ross Marquand on Die Hard. Loved his story, the impressions, and the movie discussion. I agree, man. That was a great one. Our buddy Don Morris says, Raymond Carr. Dax and the My Favorite Murder ladies and the Stranger Things guys. Noel, you want to hear something that's going to make you soups jelly?
Yeah.
My Favorite Murder is doing a live podcast at the Fox Theater on Friday night. Uh-huh. And I am going on stage to tell a local murder story with the ladies in front of 5,000 people at the very venue where I saw my very first concert when I was 12 years old.
Well,
pretty neat, huh?
That's pretty neat, Chuck. You don't have to rub it in my face like that, though.
Hey, you were just hobnobbing with fucking Al Gore.
I wasn't hobnobbing. I was in the crowd.
Jaden Smith knocking back flaming Dr. Pepper shots.
No, he has a boxed water company called Just Water.
Who, Jaden does?
Yeah,
of course he does.
I was knocking those back.
It's not called Just Jaden?
Nope. That's the name of his clothing line.
The water is made from Jaden Smith's tears, which is, as we all know, the purest water.
It really is.
Let me see here. The Gooch again. He said, this is really hard. My favorites in no order are Marquand on Die Hard, Marquand, Raymond Carr on Labyrinth, and Casey Wilson on Clue. That's very nice. Let me see here. Christine Fordham said, really difficult, but I really liked Boots Riley on Mishima, even though it's a movie I had never watched. That's great. Paul Scheer on Beverly Hills Cop. Chris Wimpany really enjoyed Aaron Mankey on The Village and the Silence of the Lambs special with the ladies from MFM. Gabe Davis says, I can't choose. They've all just been great, fun conversations about solid movies. That is really nice, Gabe. I appreciate that.
It really is. It was funny. When I was at Kevin Pollak's house, he was talking about how he had listened to some of the minis with the two of us. And I was saying, yeah, it's super fun. Like, we don't even really have to prep or anything. We just kind of like hang out and talk about movies and read the social media stuff. He's like, it's only slightly apparent that you don't prep.
Oh, Pollock. I could hear him saying that. That's funny. Celeste Edwards, Kennegeiter says Dax Shepard by far. Big Dax Shepard fans. Edward Forrest Glenn says Shalhoub. I like getting to know him better. He's great.
I just like saying that last name. Shalhoub.
Shalhoub's.
That's fun.
Yeah. John Millsot, our old friend, says Griffin McElroy about Groundhog Day was spectacular. Another vote for Griffin and Aaron Mankey from Caroline Gaston. Raymond Carr gets some more love. Roman Mars on Jaws from Mickey McGee. Morgan Wheat from My Favorite Murder. I got some straight-up regular listeners because of those ladies. My Favorite Murder fans who came over, didn't know what was going on here, and said, hey, I listen to the show now, like on the reg.
That's good.
It's very nice. That's what you want, people. Sam Herring gave some love to our old friend Janet Varney, episode number one. I love it. Andrew Anderson says My Favorite Murder. Our buddy Zach Pointer says Aaron Mankey. Made me want to watch The Village again. And Casey Wilson on Clue. Tom Evans says Janet Varney again. Casey Wilson, another vote from Laura Bjorklund. Great name. Nikki. All right, Nikki gives some constructive criticism. Nikki Dennis. You didn't ask, but my least favorite ones are the ones with groups of people. One is great, two is fine, but more than two is too many, in my opinion. Sorry. Don't apologize, Nikki. I get it. Those can be a little unwieldy, but there have only been like two of them, I think.
Yeah, it just depends. I mean, I guess when it's sort of more of a personal thing, like a movie, it might be a little harder to get everyone's kind of personal perspective if everyone's talking over each other. But I thought the ones that you've done have been successful, considering that's kind of a pitfall of those types of interviews in general. But like,
I think they're okay.
I thought
Stranger Things was great.
Stranger Things one was great. The Broken Lizard one, those guys are just so like bombastic and all over the place.
Well, and we only had like 30 minutes with those guys.
That one might have been
it was sort of crazy.
Yeah, a little like kind of gasping for air in that room.
Yeah, I had fun though. Chris Bobbitt says, Eric Slick on Big Lebowski is one of my favorite drummers. And your joy and his joy for the movie was delightful. Ike Barinholtz on Goodfellas. That's from Jody Nebel. It's all over the map, man. Everyone, it is really nice. Paul Schneider on Back to the Future. Brett Giles said that one. We even got a John Hodgman fan here, everyone. Kevin Craig. That's great. John is the best. The time you dissed Quentin Tarantino in front of Broken Lizard. That's from Alan Smithy. Yeah, I kind of did do that.
What'd you say?
Oh, just sort of my usual Tarantino rant, which is that, like, he's just being a little too indulgent these days, and movies are too long. Don't put yourself in them. Get someone to get in there and tell you no occasionally.
He hasn't really – he hasn't been in the last few, has he? He wasn't in Django or –
He was in Django. He played a
that's right.
fucking Australian.
That's right.
It was even worse that's than right. just inserting himself.
He was.
He did a bad accent on top of
it. And he was a racist Australian too, I believe.
Yes, of course he was, but he got blowed up.
He did get blowed up.
Which is kind of great.
That's fun. Was he in the one in the snow? The Hateful Eight?
Don't think so. Was he?
I don't recall. Surely he'll be in the Manson one.
Yeah, I am looking forward to
that. That one looks a lot of fun. And they were shooting it all over when I was
oh,
there.
Oh, really?
Like some people that I know who had just moved there not too long ago said that it was like all over the place.
That's awesome. And I've said it before too, like I will still go see all the Tarantinos, everyone. So, you know, maybe I'm the chump at the end of the day. All right, Noel, I feel like that's a pretty robust episode, so because we got to catch up and everything. So let's finish with a couple of comment card questions, and we'll save some of this other goodness for subsequent shows.
I'm down.
Teresa Baker, I'm sorry, Barker, says, is there a movie that moved you so deeply that you couldn't get it off your mind days, weeks, or even months later? Yeah, sure. There are a lot of movies that stay with me. The first one that just popped into my head, it was the more recent ilk, which was Room. I read that book and saw that movie. That one kind of hung with me. And that was before I even had a kid. So I imagine that would destroy me now. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I was just thinking Brie Larson because of Room. Short Term 12 was another movie that really stuck with me. Great, great film. If you guys haven't seen Short Term 12, check it out.
I am not aware.
I think Brie Larson is the best. She's wonderful. And I saw the first teaser trailer for Captain Marvel. Have you seen it yet?
It looks pretty cool, yeah.
Looks rad. It's going to be awesome. I saw that, I think, at Halloween. Did you see Halloween yet?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's probably too late now. You didn't want to see it on Thanksgiving.
I don't know. Why not? I'm interested to see what a Danny McBride horror movie looks like.
It's a pretty traditional throwback slasher film.
You did see it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You said you saw it.
In Phoenix.
In Phoenix, that's right.
That's right. All right, great question, though. That was good. Let's move on to another one. Robbie Styles goes straight up Fight Club. If you could fight anyone from history, who would it be? I would fight Donald Trump. What about you, Noel?
Gandhi. That was from Fight Club.
Yeah, he just ripped off Fight Club.
Yeah. Was it an homage? It was a ref.
Who would you fight? We're not fighters, but I feel like I could legit get rage up enough to kick the shit out of Donald Trump.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe Ted Cruz. He has a pretty punchable face.
Oh, man. The most punchable face.
He looks like Eddie Munster. You ever thought about that?
It's the most punchable face in the world.
Yeah, it's good.
Eddie Munster, yeah, he's not punchable, though. He's huggable. Let me see here. Dan Maynard says, when a studio decides to greenlight a film, what gets taken into consideration to build the budget to the final number? Does the director or whoever go forward with an estimate or idea? Wow, Dan, that's a great question. Well, the director doesn't budget the film. The director is told what the budget of the film is. I mean, unless it's like a super-duper indie, the director might have their fingers in that pie a little bit more. But the line producer is who sort of gets all the numbers together and probably presents the final budget to, in the case of a studio, I guess just a – you know, not the studio head. Well, maybe if it's a big enough movie. But I think when it's a studio, too, these days, a lot of times it's just a math problem. Like they have it's as uncreative as this sounds. They know basically how much a movie will likely do after the first couple of weeks. And that really paints a picture of how a movie is going to do overall. And they say, if you put this star in this movie, pair them with this person as a co-star. And if it's this genre of film, then historically it will make this kind of money. And it really is a bit of a buzzkill for like what you feel like is the creative process. But budgeting a film is the least fun part of anything, really.
Leave it to the bean counters, Chuck. Leave it to the bean counters.
Good one, Noel. All right, let's do one more here, and then let's get out of here, go to that stupid HR meeting, and then we'll record some more. How about that?
That sounds great.
This is from Kristen Glenn Kister. What movies are your holiday traditions? In my house, it's The Color Purple. While making pies for Thanksgiving, I got to stop there and just say, that is awesome. Such a specific tradition to make pies and watch The Color Purple. I love that. And then Die Hard and Christmas Eve, just to name a couple. Well, one of the things that we do in our family is when the Christmas story, A Christmas Story is on the loop on TBS, a lot of times we will just keep it on in the background and catch bits of it when we can. Now that I have a daughter, I'm going to start the tradition of Emma Daughter's Jug Band Christmas.
And I think they just reissued that in some sort of new
soundtrack.
That's
yeah,
cool.
Baby.
Man, speaking of Christmas Story, I told you that's the only way I've ever experienced that movie. And I don't think I've ever seen it linearly, like in the right order. I think I've just seen little snips of it
because of
the loop, you know? And he just kind of pops on. I'm like, oh, he's getting his eye shot out here.
Right.
Oh, wait. Does this come before or after he wears the bunny suit? Like, I'm confused.
And then what else? Like, I try to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles around Thanksgiving.
That movie's just frustrating. I just feel bad for those characters. It's, nothing good happens to them, you know? It's an exercise in futility.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But it's such a sweet story in the
end. I guess
it is. And sad story.
I just find it very punishing.
Not for you?
No.
Those aren't pillows, Noel. All right. So that's it for this week, everyone. Glad you're back, buddy. We're going to record a couple of more of these in a couple of hours because we got to beef up for the holidays, bro. And you down?
You know I'm down, Chuck.
All right. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and see you next Monday.
Bye-bye.